So yeah, George and I kind of just did a shoot together one day in similar swimwear, and she was flying to the US that night and I was flying back to Perth. We did the shoot in Sydney. And so yeah, did the shoot. I ran to the airport still in my bathers and soaking wet to go back to Perth. And then, yeah, we, I think maybe a week later was International Women's Day, and we posted one of the photos and it blew up.
Hello and welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart women who love dumb stuff. Today on the show, we are joined by the legend that is Kate Worsley. You might know Kate from her time as one half of Anybody Co. As an in-demand model and influencer herself, Kate has graced the coveted pages of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit edition in 2018. But perhaps her most important role today is the one she plays in our conversations about body image online. We caught up with Kate on her latest trip to Melbourne, where in her hotel room with her best friend Talia by her side, she proved through kindness and no bullshit how she's built the career she has. Just before we do get into the chat though, please note this episode does touch on issues around disordered eating habits and may be triggering for some listeners. Here's Kate.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been big fans for a long time of you.
Me as well. Not me.
No, of you.
We've been following you for what feels like forever, I think. And I remember the day when you posted about Shameless on your Instagram story. I still remember how excited we were because we're like, oh my God, we love Kate.
And I said to you, act a little bit more chill in your reply. Like, don't act over the top.
I wasn't chill.
Went into our DMs and she'd already replied something outrageously non-chill.
I got a million emojis and I knew it was Michelle.
It wasn't. Kate, tell us, you are in Melbourne at the moment. What are you, and you travel a lot too.
I do.
What are you reading, watching, listening to at the moment?
At the moment, apart from you guys every Monday, not that I'm sucking up, I'm actually listening to an audiobook called Dietland at the moment, which is very up my alley. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. But yes, it's basically about diet culture and all the things that young women are sold maybe without them knowing about how they should look. And yeah, I would say that anyone who's maybe dealt with eating disorders or anything, I might put out a bit of a trigger warning for it because it does bring up a lot of issues that I know I've dealt with in the past. But it is very feminist and it's written really well. And yeah, I would highly recommend that to everyone because I think it's very up the alley of the Shameless listeners.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one.
I had heard of it, but I need to pick it up and actually read it. I think.
Really, really great.
Do you have much time to watch things if you are always in the air traveling?
Oh, I have so much downtime living in Perth, it's not even funny.
Quiet city, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I think because I am now living in Perth, my modelling is here and there, I guess, when I'm in Sydney, which might be every fortnight. But apart from that, when I'm at home in Perth, I'm just doing Instagram sponsored posts and, you know, this and that.
Influencer life.
Influencer life, yes. But I can do that from bed. So, and once I've done my, you know, my 10 minutes of work, I'm just kind of potting around the house and replying to work emails here and there. So I do have a lot of spare time and a lot of time to watch stuff, yes.
Yeah, what do you gravitate towards? Are you like a true crime buff? Or
I do love true crime. Yeah. Though I can't really watch that with my boyfriend because he's a detective. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wow. I like throwing that out there. but, yeah, so he likes to come home from work and kind of unplug from all of that stuff.
Understandably.
Fair enough.
Does he pick the flaws in it too?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
This wouldn't happen.
That's absolutely not the point. 100%,
yeah. Or like, oh, my God, if I was doing this, I'd do it this way. Because he is just the best detective in the world, according to him. so, yeah, definitely true crime. Love a true crime documentary. What else do I watch? Look, I love just having Gossip Girl on in the background when I'm doing stuff during the day. Probably have watched that about a million times. Mm. But
Haven't we all?
100%.
It's such a good show.
Yes.
It actually takes me back to so many times when I was like 13. and just watching my internet
television. Oh my god, I know.
I can't watch it now that I know the end. I feel like I got halfway through Gossip Girl and then I found out the ending and I just kind of was like, well...
Oh, that's true. You can easily pick the flaws
100%.
In the plot.
Like, yeah, none of it made sense. Everyone's like, this is who Gossip Girl is. I'm like, well, it's fucking not because I'm watching it right now.
You literally just pick someone in the room.
Yeah. It is my pet hate when people make a drama TV show and they lose sight of what the actual ending's going to be. It's like when Lost just turned out to be everyone was in a dream. Sorry if no one's watched Lost.
Yeah. I feel like we should edit that out. Also, nobody watches Lost anymore.
You're like a decade behind if you're still watching Lost.
Kate, tell us what you were like as a kid growing up.
Grew up in Perth, yeah. Been in Perth my whole life apart from the 2 years I lived in Sydney. I think I was quite shy as a kid. And then maybe when I got to high school, I started coming out of my shell a little bit more.
When you say you were shy, what do you mean? Was it that you struggled to make friends or you were just super quiet and introverted?
I didn't struggle to make friends, no. I was very, I think, studious in primary school. And when I got to high school, that kind of all went out the window.
What do you mean? How so?
I probably spent most of my time in the art room in high school when I should have been probably in maths.
And what's going on in the art room? Like actual art? Or is
actual
that just some
art?
I
thought
it was like a euphemism.
No. No.
Kissing boys in the art room.
No, actual art. Yeah, I really loved visual arts in high school. Mm. But I was not into my study at all. Couldn't care less because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I kind of thought, yeah, I'll figure it out later. Mm. And then I had a year off. I went to Europe for a month or so, came home, decided, all right, got to, you know, figure this out. Went to TAFE. I became a personal trainer, did that for a little bit and used that to get into uni to study nutrition and health promotion, which I loved. And suddenly I found this, like, love and passion for my study, and that's probably what I was lacking in high school, but it did come to me later.
And where did that interest in nutrition and stuff come from? Like, were you always interested in food and what your relationship with food? When did that sort of peak? Was that before that degree or after?
That was definitely before. That peaked probably my last year of high school. Up until then, I couldn't care what I put in my mouth. I don't think I ever thought about it, and I was just living this life that I kind of wish I was living now, where I wasn't aware of dieting and I wasn't aware of calories and I wasn't aware of all this stuff that, you know, women should do. That all started, I guess, when I started seeing other girls in high school dieting and doing this and that. And I remember my teachers, my home ec teachers, were going to boot camps with some of the girls and stuff, and they were like, they were friends with their mums and everything, and I was kind of like, I'd listen to their conversations and be like, oh, like, is that something I should be doing? And I was seeing these girls are already skinny and they were dieting and they were on shakes and they were losing weight, and I started becoming more aware of that.
Was it like a flick of the switch, like, oh, shit, maybe I need to start caring about this, or was it more gradual than that?
I think it was a bit of a flick of the switch. I used to always, my whole life, I've been bigger. So there's always been comments here and there about my weight, but always there was something I was like, if they got said to me in the moment, I'd be like, oh, God, and kind of go into my shell. But then I'd forget about it by tomorrow. I was over it. The more I think about it, though, and I think back to how I was in high school, and like Talia said, I was a bit of a class clown, I guess. I think a lot of that actually stemmed from being, like, from this insecurity that I didn't really know that I had.
So you had, like, a hugely extroverted personality by the end 100%, of school to overcompensate for...
100% for how I was feeling without knowing that I really had that. So, yeah, like I said, I saw other girls dieting and doing shakes and this and that, and then I started doing shakes and this and that, and I remember I got this horrible detox tea thing that literally had all this, like, nutrients in it.
So good for you.
It was like bits of sand, though. It literally had like it was like drinking a watered down exfoliator. Like, it was nasty. But I did it and I started noticing results really quick because your girl wasn't eating any food. So, you know, very easy to ignore the whole don't have any energy, I can't focus or anything when you're not really focused on your studies anyway. So that didn't really affect me at all, and I was just like, I was getting results, people were noticing, people were complimenting me and all this stuff that I'd never had, and I just loved it. Like, guys were noticing me, girls were saying, oh my god, you look great, teachers were saying, oh, you're doing so well, like, congratulations on losing weight, blah blah blah. And suddenly I was getting all this praise and I just absolutely fell in love with that. And then that kind of turned into my whole personality and my whole existence was losing weight and knowing about nutrition. And my friends can tell you this, if they bought out a plate of food, I'd be able to tell you how many calories in everything and what came from fat and what came from carbs and how much sugar was in things. Like, I just knew. Yeah, which I think my friends probably really noticed when we went to Europe. And yeah, we were kind of in Italy and we had this 7-course like pasta meal. And I barely ate any of it because, you know, carbs.
The devil.
The devil itself, not really. But yeah, that was my mindset. And I couldn't bear to eat anything that I thought would make me fat again. Mm.
Do you put a label on it? I know that I had eating problems when I was younger, probably 18 to 20, and I didn't see a psychologist at the time, but I have since. And the label she put on it for me was orthorexia. Do you put a label on what you
went through? I don't put a label on it because I don't think I was to the extent where I could put a label on it, although I did a few times start bringing my food back up, but I didn't do that all the time. Yeah. So I did this stupid thing where if I was craving something, I would chew the food and then spit it out.
I did the same thing. Yeah. I used to do it's funny that your friends realized when you're in Europe because it was the same with me. I would take a bite of something, like I'd buy a chocolate bar if my friends were buying a chocolate bar and then throw the rest away.
Yeah.
And my friend Emily would be like, why are you doing that? And in my head, I was rationalizing, well, I'm tasting it, but I'm only tasting a very small bit. I'm not taking in the majority of calories, which now that I look back, is just ridiculous.
Which a lot of people I speak to, you know, they do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking like, that's not okay. Normal. That's not normal.
But this is the problem with eating disorders and like problem eating in general. I feel like so many women, probably all the women listening to this, have gone through a relationship with food over the years where there might not be a label on it, but it wasn't quite right for a bit of time.
And there should be a label, I think, for that grey area.
I just say disordered
eating. Yeah, I think that is the label because I went through a period of disordered eating. But I think it is important that there is some way to frame it for young girls to be like, there's a difference between having a healthy relationship with food and the relationship and that I had.
Yeah.
Did your friends say anything to you?
I do remember in Europe they pointed out how I was eating, but it wasn't in like an attacking way or anything. But at the time I was like, well, what do you mean? That doesn't affect you guys. Like, let me just be healthy. But I wasn't healthy though.
And how did you get to a point where you either grew out of that or realized what was going on?
That's like a tough one. I remember saying to my mum, I don't know how to eat more than 800 calories a day. I don't know. And that to me now sounds stupid. Like, just go and buy some food and eat it.
Yeah, it's like eat more than 800 calories.
Exactly. It sounds ridiculous to me now, but at the time I just remember saying to mum, I don't know how to do this. There's nothing that I want to consume. I was, you know, making these smoothies if I got hungry out of lemon and spinach and water.
Oh, smoothie.
Yum. I'm drinking that. Yum. Delish. But in my mind, I always used to say to people, yeah, well, I eat to fuel my body, not to enjoy the food. Like, was I fueling my body though? No. Yeah. So I went and saw a doctor and spoke to them and she gave me like a pamphlet on all these like calories in foods and what's healthy and what's, I wouldn't say unhealthy, but I get the like sometimes food.
Moderation food.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, try adding beans to your dinner or try adding chickpeas or, you know, try adding some bread or something. And I kind of started doing that. And then along with starting my nutrition degree, I was getting told, you know, this is disordered eating and this is an unhealthy relationship with food. And I was just going, yep, check, check, check. Like, that's me. So it did take me a while to get out of it. And to be quite honest, I still have those thoughts now. Like, with everyone doing the keto diet, the temptation for me is real. Like, I, you know, sometimes I wake up and I want that 5 kilo weight loss in a month.
I think as well, it never really goes away. Like, even a month ago, I think I said to Zara, I'm like, I'm saying this out loud so I can hold myself accountable. I'm not eating enough at the moment. Yep. And I think it's, if you've ever had a history of disordered eating, it's noticing slipping back into those habits mm-hmm. again and being able to call it out. And I said to Mitch as well, definitely. I'm like, Mitch, I'm not eating enough and I want to tell you this so that I can actually hear myself say it
yeah, yeah.
and get the feedback so I can then, and then I correct it again. 100%. But when I was 18, I wouldn't have been able to do yeah. that.
And I think it's very important to have people around you that you can say that to. And I know when I told my boyfriend about like thinking about doing keto and stuff, he was like, you know, you don't need to lose weight for me to find you attractive or for me to want to be with you. And even just hearing that, although I knew it, just hearing that from him, I was like, oh, you're right. Like, you're with me for me, not...
But it's also so hard because we're always told that skinny equals attractive. Is that yes. something for you where if weight was always an insecurity, like that must be very difficult to navigate when the entire world is telling you that one body type is the ideal?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that now?
Well, because I've kind of built my modelling and influencing career around that, I've turned those comments into motivation. So when I do get a comment like that, I think, yep, you know what? What I'm doing and what I'm putting out into the world needs to be done because I think that definitely that idea needs to change. And I'm, you know, having studied nutrition and health promotion, I know obesity is an issue. And I know that comes along with a lot of health conditions and can be very, very serious. And I say that because I do get a lot of comments saying, well, now you're just promoting obesity. Which, yeah, sigh.
How do those comments make you feel? Do you respond to them? Do you ignore them?
I try not to respond to people's comments at all, but my God, sometimes it's hard because I do have this side of me that just wants to, like, if someone tears me down, I just want to rip them down back. So often I kind of wish that these people would say it to my face so I could just give them a verbal beat down. But I find it's best not to. And I do say on my stories, like, if my followers do see someone commenting something nasty, not to respond, because then that person always goes for them. And I'm used to it because I've had everything in the book said to me 100 times over. But I know, you know, if one of my followers commented, like, for example, that's not nice, you can't say that, and that person turns around and says, well, you're obese and disgusting, how's that going to make them feel if they're not really used to getting that comment? So, yeah, what I was going to say about that is that there definitely is a difference between promoting obesity and being body positive. I think the main message I want to get out there is that health does come in lots of different shapes and sizes, because people come in lots of different shapes and sizes, and that seems to be something that everyone forgets.
Always. It reminds me a lot of the conversation we had around Tess Holliday a couple of months ago, or it was yeah. the end of last year, about how there's so much projected faux concern around 100%. Weight.
Everyone becomes a doctor.
Yeah. And it's as if they have best interests at heart when you don't have, you know, the really tiny person on your mm-hmm. Instagram's best interests mm-hmm. at heart either. Like, 100%. It's incredibly hypocritical.
There's an amazing tweet / quote, and oh my God, I can't remember who said it, but it's, you know, there could be a skinny person on your Instagram feed that just eats like crap and no one would come after them saying, oh my God, you're unhealthy. And then you've got a bigger person who could just be eating salad every single day, and then they bite into a slice of pizza and it's, oh my God, you're gonna die of heart disease, blah 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 blah, which is very, very frustrating, I will say. But like I said, when I do get those comments, it does make me think I need to keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah, because often I get a bit down on myself, like, what really is my job? Like, what am I doing? So, yeah, I just sometimes need to remind myself that I am putting out a good positive message, and sometimes those negative comments actually help me do that.
Mm. How did modelling come about? We were talking before we jumped on the microphones that you began modelling at 21.
Yes.
How, that's quite late in the modelling game, right?
It is, yeah.
But how did it all happen for you?
I think plus-size models have a bit of a longer... I'm going to hate myself saying this, but I can't think of any way else to put it. A longer shelf life than straight-size models. purely because a lot of plus-size clothes are aimed at older women. So I started modelling, long story short. I won a model search, and it was a company based in Sydney. I flew over and did their campaign after never modelling before, no idea what I was doing. Basically just plonked me in the middle of a sand dune, had 14 people in front of me, a couple of cameras, and I just stood there with my hands by my side and smiled like I would in a school photo.
Like what Zara's like every time yeah. I do a photo shoot.
Just lose all sense yeah. of how to move my body.
100%. I had no idea. I wasn't aware of my hands. I wasn't aware of you know, how dead straight my fingers were. Like, I looked like a robot. It was, yeah. And that photo shoot was for a national campaign to be in shopping centre windows. So I was, like, going through my head, everyone I know is going to see this. Absolutely everyone. So it was terrifying. But from there, I basically got told, you know, being especially a plus-size model, you're not going to work in Perth. Because Perth doesn't have a big modelling industry anyway, so even the straight size girls are told you need to move over east. So, yeah, I moved over east. I was lucky enough to get a contract with this company, which meant I worked with them every single week for about 2 years, which was enough for me to support myself and live in Sydney. So, yeah, I got quite lucky in that sense because I think a lot of girls wait around quite a bit and do the odd job here and there, where I was able to just go into it full time.
And how was the modelling agency that you worked for, a company that you worked for? Did they ever pressure you to lose weight? Because that is such a stigma in the industry, but is curve modelling or plus size modelling different?
Not at all. My agency, I'm with Vivian's, they are absolutely amazing. Yeah, very, very supportive. When I actually started modelling, I was a size 14 to 16. Now I'm about a 16, 18 on the bottom. And they're like, you know, if you're healthy and happy and you're, you know, living what you see to be an active and happy life, then we're happy for you. And you're out there to, you know, be who you are and represent bigger bodies in the industry. So you go, girl. They're really great.
It's funny that you are consistently using the term plus size model, because I know that term itself is quite contentious, and I'm not sure what the correct terminology is, what the preferred terminology is. Like, do you just reclaim that kind of word? Because
totally.
Why not?
I know a lot of girls do have an issue with it, and I totally see why, because for girls that aren't in the industry, maybe getting called plus size when you're only a size 14 and 6 foot tall and you're thin, that can be quite damaging, and I get that, and that's not okay. So I do take issue with brands having like a plus size section, like just have all the sizes on the same rack and in the same area, because I know when I was younger, if I had to go into a plus size section, that was like mortifying for me. That was like, oh my god, people are going to see me shopping here, oh my god. But when I refer to myself and within the industry, it's just a term to me, and it's just easier for the clients to say, we want girls that are X, Y, and Z size, and then my agent will just give you over to the plus size board. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
So I mean, it is bizarre though, because the average woman is 14, like size 14 and above. Yeah. So to kind of segregate women by their sizes when you really think about it is
very ridiculous. Fucked up. Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Coming up on the show, Kate explains what she fears the most about having spent the last few years as an influencer. But first, a word from our sponsors.
So how did Anybody Co. come about? Because that's how I first stumbled upon you.
Yeah, how we both did.
Yeah. Lots of people, yeah.
Was that as much of an overnight success as it seemed?
It was 100%.
Wow.
Blew my mind. So I basically started with Georgia Gibbs. We were friends when we were in Sydney, and we were sitting on the bed one day and we were like kind of having the conversation, what the hell's our purpose? Like, you know, we get up in the morning, go get our makeup done and stand in front of a camera, and that's all we're doing. And we were kind of like, we'd love like just to have a purpose behind what we're doing. And then her mum was on the phone at the time, and we were kind of just having like a three-way conversation, and her mum said, you know, you girls should like shoot together. And we were like, oh, that's a really good idea. And we had a photo already that we had taken when we were out one night, just two friends having a drink on the island in Sydney. And Georgia was wearing a Cook Eye dress, and Georgia already had maybe 200,000 followers opposed to my, you know, 2,000. And because she was wearing a Cook Eye dress, Cook Eye reposted her, and I was the first plus size body to ever be on the Cook Eye Instagram page. Because, you know, they only go size 1 and 2, which I think is a 10 to 12. Yeah, so that happened, and the post blew up, so many likes, and I was like, oh my god, this is great, they love me. But then I clicked onto the comments section because I noticed there was probably about 800 plus comments, and their usual engagement maybe was like 50 to 100 comments on the straight size models. So, yeah, clicked onto the comment section and, my God, I was just blown away by the insults and the people also that were just shocked and happy to see a plus size model. Kind of like, oh my God, congratulating Kukai for posting this plus size model, even though I wasn't even wearing their clothes. Yeah, also the nasty comments on there absolutely just blew my mind. So yeah, George and I kind of just did a shoot together one day in similar swimwear, and she was flying to the US that night and I was flying back to Perth. We did the shoot in Sydney. And so yeah, did the shoot. I ran to the airport still in my bathers and soaking wet to go back to Perth. And then, yeah, I think maybe a week later was International Women's Day, and we posted one of the photos and it blew up. Like, I'm talking 10,000 followers overnight. It was nuts. And I think that was purely based on the hashtags International Women's Day and when we launched it. But yeah, it just took off and people were like mind blown that there was a plus size model and a straight size model in the same photo, which I had never really seen before. I'm sure it was out there. I'm sure it was, but I'd never taken in notice of it. So yeah, that just blew up and that was just a crazy whirlwind. And, you know, here I am now, a model and an influencer.
So that's how the influencer side of your...
Yeah, 100%. I was very small on social media prior to that.
I had no idea because it was... I remember so clearly the moment that it blew up, because you guys were suddenly everywhere. You were on morning shows. Yep. You were on doing interviews. In fact, I actually interviewed you guys over email, I think, for Mamma Mia.
Did you? Yeah.
But we didn't jump on the phone together because you guys were in... I think you must have been shooting for Sports Illustrated or casting for Sports Illustrated, maybe?
Well, for someone who hadn't really been overseas maybe once or twice just with friends, I was suddenly in New York twice in 1 month, and then London, and then New York again, and then London again, and then back in Sydney, Melbourne, Perth. I was all over the place.
Wow. And so your life really did change overnight.
It really did. Yeah, it absolutely took off, and it was very, very overwhelming in a good way, and also just mind-blowing, what the hell am I doing kind of way.
So how did you arrive at the decision to then kind of depart Anybody Co? Because you're not associated with the brand
anymore. No, I'm not anymore. We had different ideas of where we wanted to take the brand, which is fine. It wasn't bitter. And also Georgia living in LA and me wanting to base myself back in Perth where, as I said before, not a lot happens. So, yeah, we just decided to go our separate ways, and Georgia now looks after the account and I'm kind of doing my own thing of what I probably would have done with anybody on my own page. And, so...
What is your career highlight? You have packed so much in since Anybody Co. What is the moment that stands out for you in your career?
I think Sports Illustrated, I know, very cliche, I say that every single time I get asked that question, but definitely Sports Illustrated. That was crazy. There was just a lot going on. I loved it so much because I knew I was there for me and to promote myself rather than to sell an item of clothing, and rather than purely just being booked on the way that I looked. I was there to give interviews and I was there to talk about body confidence, and I was one of the three plus size models that have ever been in Sports Illustrated. So that was really pretty great huge. As well. Yeah.
Not a cliched thing to say, keep saying over and over again either. I keep saying if it was me.
Yeah, totally.
So, Kate, what we were talking about as well before we actually jumped on air is, I think with the conversations that we've had with you in the last few months, what a lot of people wouldn't understand about the way that you live your life is that it is very last minute and you are always traveling. Like, you don't know where you're going to be next week. It's a very unique way to live. I don't think people would understand how last minute things come together. Walk us through what it's like to live like that.
Well, I've been talking to you guys on email for how long, being like, I might be in Melbourne soon or whatever. And then suddenly I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to be in Melbourne tomorrow. So it is very last minute. I'm used to it now, but I don't want to complain about it because being able to see the world is amazing.
Yeah.
But I think what people don't think about is that I'm always alone and it's a very isolating, lonely job. I'm constantly leaving my comfort zone in Perth. I'm leaving my family, leaving my boyfriend, leaving my best friends to go and see the world on your own. And I guess when I do travel, I get off the plane, I go straight to the hotel, I then go to a studio and then back to the airport again. It's not like I'm over there living my best life and sightseeing, which I do try to do, but also doing that by yourself in a foreign country is very scary for me. So yeah, I'm used to, I've nailed packing last minute. I'm very used to traveling by myself, but it just is lonely.
Because it looks so glamorous from the outset.
Yes.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't see, is that you should be allowed to comment on the fact that it's not as glamorous without people accusing you of perhaps complaining about the nature of the job. 100%.
But you feel like you are, because I know it's an easy job and I know I'm very, very lucky to be doing it. And sometimes I think if you do write about that stuff on Instagram or social media or wherever, it does come across a little bit ungrateful.
Yeah.
But it has really messed with my mental health, if I'm honest, when I was living in Sydney, because I was living by myself. I was working with the same people only once a week. And if I did do another job here and there, it's not like I was building this rapport and making work friends. It was just always alone, always meeting new people, which is a pretty anxious experience for me anyway. So yeah, I did get really lonely, and I did end up having to move back to Perth just because I knew I had to, just for the sake of my mental health.
And how has that move been for you, going back there? Do you feel it's really rooted you somewhere and you feel much more settled now?
100%. But also it has meant that my modelling has kind of taken a bit of a backseat, and I am relying more and more on sponsored Instagram content. But I am happier. And I'm very lucky in the sense that I have clients that are willing to fly me all the way from Perth to either America or the Eastern States.
How does it impact on a relationship? It must be hard to have, as you said, your boyfriend's a detective. Mm-hmm. It's quite a 9-to-5 or like stable job.
Yeah.
Is that difference of lifestyle, is it something you had to navigate together?
Yes and no. I think when we started talking, I hadn't become a model yet, and we were very kind of on off, just kind of talking here and there. Are we dating?
We know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. When we started talking, as if it is like a textbook definition of a relationship stage.
100%. Oh, God, so, yeah.
When we were hanging out.
Yeah. Totally. So then I became a model. I was like, yep, okay, I've got to move to Sydney, because is this going anywhere? Is it not? Who cares? See you later. Off to Sydney, and we were still texting and very on off. Like, I think I was like, well, are you going to commit to me? And he's like, how? Like, we can't even hang out. You live in Sydney. And I was like, well, why are you messaging me then?
But also don't stop messaging
me. Yeah, but also don't stop. And he didn't. And so we're kind of very, very on off. And then when I moved back to Perth, we've been together and fine ever since. But I think because when we started out, we were apart. Me going away for a month just seems like nothing. Mm. And what's also really great with his job, if he does night shift and I'm in America, we're on the same time zone anyway. So, yeah, it's actually, I've been quite fortunate with how that's worked out.
What's next for you? What's on the horizon? What's the plan? What do you want to do in the next few months to a year?
Because we've seen you talk about this on your Instagram stories as well, I think, where you're kind of tossing up what you want to do in the next 5 years or so.
Totally. I just shot a cyberbullying campaign, so that should come out soon, which I'm very excited for. So in terms of modeling, that's what I'm kind of waiting for next. But in terms of my life, I often think about this. I say to my friends all the time, you know, eventually when I'm not a model, who knows when, I just keep having this vision that I go in for an interview at, you know, wherever, and I'm sitting in front of this CEO and he's like, so what are your talents? What are your skills? What qualifications do you have? And I go, I've been an influencer for 10 years. I've been a model. And he's like, oh, okay, next. Like, so I do have that in the back of my mind. So I'm definitely considering going back to uni.
What would you do?
When I started modeling, was halfway through my uni degree and just thought, uni's always going to be there, just going to take the bull by the horns and go for this and see where it gets me. Yeah, halfway through that degree, I think I would drop nutrition because I've definitely lost interest in that. But health promotion, I would really love to continue and probably also go into addiction studies.
Oh, addiction studies would be fascinating.
Yes, I think
so.
Yeah, definitely.
Our last question of every In Conversation episode is always the same. Who are the people or women who inspire you?
I have this written on my phone. Ooh, I don't know where my phone is.
Amazing. We have had lots of people rattle off like a paragraph of names.
I know, but it's good because you don't want to miss any as well, especially if you're talking about people in your life.
Yeah, so these are the people that I really love following. I love following Iskra Lawrence. She's a plus-size model from the UK. She's great. She does a lot of stuff with body positivity, but not in a kind of, oh, just love yourself, guys. Like, not in that kind of way. It's a lot deeper than that. I do think a video she's been in is What's Underneath on YouTube, where she's just kind of spoken about her journey with her body and kind of with every question you remove an item of clothing. So she ends up kind of just sitting there in her underwear, and it's very, very emotional, very raw, quite confronting, I would imagine, for her. So I think she's great. Obviously, Ashley Graham, just can't even name a plus-size model that probably wouldn't love her. I do love this woman called Claire. She goes by the name Recovery Brain Food on Instagram, and she talks a lot about disordered eating and her experiences and stuff that she still experiences in the workplace now. For example, she walked into the work bathrooms the other day and there was a scale, like a set of scales had been placed there. And she was like, oh, my God, like, because she's got to obviously go in and deal with people all being on diets and, you know, the culture. Also, Kensington Brenner, she, very similar thing to Recovery Brain Food, talks about her experiences and very raw, very real stuff that you can really, really relate to. And last but not least, my boy Stevie, he goes by the name on Instagram, Bopo Boy, and he speaks about issues that guys face, which I don't think you see a lot of at all.
Yeah, refreshing.
So yeah, he's really great, and actually caught the attention of Sam Smith the other day, and I saw him on Sam Smith's story and just lost my mind. I was like, oh my God, have you seen this? And he was like, no, what? And yeah, so that's been really great. And then I've noticed Sam Smith kind of posting a bit of body positivity here and there. And I'm like, yeah, boy, you did that. So, yeah, they're definitely my favourites.
Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, it has been well worth the wait of us trying to get you on. But totally. When you're talking about women just then who sort of do great things for the body positivity movement that isn't shallow, I think that is you, because there is such a need, not just for body positivity, but shit that's not shallow about it too. And that's why we love you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
coming
on.
Thank you for having me, girls.
Thank you so much for listening to this In Conversation episode of Shameless. If you loved listening to Kate's story, you can find her on Instagram at KateWaz. While you're there, you can find us too, if you like. We're at Shameless Podcast. We will see you guys on Monday.